Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, joined by Paul Dottino. I am John Schmelk. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Get in touch with us that way if you are so inclined. Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by Coors Light. Enter to win the ultimate VIP game day experience courtesy of Coors Light. Text VIP to 90464 for more details. Paul, the Giants getting ready to take on the Washington Redskins at MetLife Stadium, trying to even their record at 2-2. The Redskins come in at 0-3, but they're a little bit better than what that 0-3 team, the 0-3 record rather, might indicate.
Yeah, I agree with you, John, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a lot of talent. And
especially up front.
Well, Montez Sweat in particular.
Well, and Daron Payne is a heck of a player too, by the
way. Good player. We know that Ryan Kerrigan's been around a long time, and maybe he's shown some wear on his tire, but nonetheless, he can still occasionally make some big plays. You don't sleep on him.
Only three games, small sample size to draw any conclusions.
Sure. So, in any event, I'm with you, though. I do believe that, you know, they're a, quote, I hate to say this, but dangerous 0-3 team. It's the kind of 0-3 team you're not anxious to play.
Well, especially
because
when
you know their defense can hurt you.
And they're in your division.
Yes.
And, you know, these division games always end up being tight, and they go down to the wire. The teams are very familiar with each other. Nobody's going to have any surprises here. Now, the Giants maybe a couple more because they have Daniel Jones, obviously, only for his second career start. But the two teams are very familiar with each other. And let's start the Redskins defense because you went there first. And, yeah, you look at their front. We talked about some of the names already. Kerrigan, Sweat. Sweat, I think, has been better against the run than the pass this year, but still he's been good. Daron Payne's been excellent. Jonathan Allen's coming back from a knee injury. He should be a full goal this week. He has not been on the Redskins injury report. And the front strong. The problem is they only have, I believe, 4 sacks on the year. They blitz a decent amount, but they're not getting home. So combine that with the fact that the guys in their secondary are not playing well. Josh Norman seems to have taken a bit of a step back. Some of his speed seems to be gone. Their safeties aren't the best in coverage. They lost Zach Brown at linebacker, and their linebackers have been unimpressive so far this year. And you get a defense that's allowing opponents to convert 63% or 64% of the time on third down. Worst in the league. On third downs and 7 or more yards, 53%. It's a horror show for them on third downs, which is why they're one of the worst time of possession teams in the league because their defense can't get off the field.
There is a dichotomy when you look at this Redskins defense because you mentioned their secondary, which I think is the weakest part, at least based on the first three games they've played this year.
Hard to argue with that.
Okay. However, they're also giving up 142 yards a game on the ground and almost 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Okay, so you say to yourself, well, you really rather do well on first down and second down because you don't want to put yourself in a third and long spot because that front can be pretty difficult to deal with. But then you say to yourself, the front may be difficult, but if we can kind of hold up, we can shred their Swiss cheese secondary. So it leaves you with a very hefty dilemma. Do you decide that you're just going to try to run roughshod over a defense that has not proven it can stop the run? Or do you take your chances against the front thinking that you will dice and slice the secondary to ribbons? I'm not sure which way the Giants will decide to proceed. But I will say this, John. Okay, you can't just fall asleep on this team because if you do, they've got guys who can step up and make a play in a spot that could ultimately cost you a game.
Here's a stat courtesy of Pro Football Focus that I found amazing, okay? And I mentioned how the Redskins are allowing 53% conversions on third down and 7 or more yards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In those situations, opposing quarterbacks, Paul, are 15 of 16 throwing the ball for 272 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Well, they've given up 4 touchdown passes of 20-plus yards, and quite frankly, so have the Giants.
But to give up 15 of 16 completions on 3rd and 6 or more, 7 or more, is insanity.
Well, it's big play city, right? Big play city. And you would think Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard, and can I start to throw out that name Darius Slayton?
Not yet. Now? I'm not going to let you do it yet.
Please?
Not yet. I need one more game.
Okay.
Sorry.
Against the Vikings, though,
One game does not a career make.
I really like that kid.
So do I. I think he's really good. I agree, but I'm not letting you do it after one game. I'm not going to let you be one of the callers I have to yell at.
Okay. All right. I'll hold my horses, but don't be surprised. And he, Slayton's the kind of guy, let me just make something very clear about how I feel about him. He's the kind of guy who's not going to catch 10 passes for 160 yards. Right. He's the kind of guy who's going to catch three or four balls for like 90 yards.
Which is kind of what Manningham used to be. He was never a high-volume catcher, but he made a lot of catches down the field.
Very good point. And they could be very important catches. Right.
And by the way, I think that's how Slayton's career might start. I think he has the potential to be a guy that can make plays all over the field, though.
He may be at some point, but right now, I see him as that selective big play guy.
Here's the funny thing, Paul, and this goes back to your point about big plays. So on passes that travel 21 yards or more in the air, Redskin opposing quarterbacks have an 129.5 quarterback rating. However, they've only allowed 7 passes for 20 or more yards, which is tied for 5th fewest in the league.
Right, four of them for touchdowns.
Right, which is another dichotomy, right? Because they don't have success stopping the deep pass, yet they have not given up a lot of them. You know, they play almost completely single high defense. They're in man or cover three most of the time, man almost 40% of the time. So you have a single high deep, and usually when you do that, you're susceptible to some big plays. So we'll see if the Giants can figure that out and create a good balance, because even though Saquon Barkley's not playing, and we've talked about this week, they're still going to give Wayne Gallman his touches and his carries, and he's a good downhill runner. He's not going to, you know, break these spectacular runs for a billion yards, but he's going to get what's there, and then he's going to fall forward. He's a good power runner. He's a slasher is kind of the style I would describe him as, and they'll use the run too. And to me, this is another game where I think the Redskins, and I guess we can switch gears here a little bit, Paul, the Redskins can move the football. Case Keenum's passing stats are actually pretty good this year.
They can't run it, but they can throw it.
Right. Yeah, they've only run it, I think, 28% of the time. This is a passing football team.
Yes.
And remember, guys, they had the lead against Philadelphia in the first half.
Should we remind you that the Giants' secondary hasn't been very good?
Bingo. They are within only one score of the Dallas Cowboys at halftime of their game against Dallas. Now, last week against Chicago, they couldn't protect Case Keenum. So the thing fell off the rails, they turned it over, and it was really ugly really quick. That's going to happen sometimes. The Bears' defense is phenomenal. It's one of the best in the league. But this team can move the ball. Now, Keenum might put the ball in some danger sometimes, squeezing it where he shouldn't, but they can move the ball through the air.
You know, coming out of the draft, I really like McLaren out of Ohio State. I thought, you know,
he was one of my favorites. You know that.
I know that too. I'm not saying otherwise. Mm-hmm. But I was really, really surprised. I think they got him in the third round. Did they not?
I thought it might have been fourth even, but I'll
check.
Was
it even that low? Mm-hmm. And I talked to Grant Haley and Jabril Peppers about him this week, because Haley had a chance to oppose him once when he was at Penn State. And, of course, McLaren's out of Ohio State. And Peppers opposed him once when he was at Michigan. And both of those guys said, no. They knew. They knew. Both said that he has improved dramatically as a route runner since he got to the Redskins. But both of them said that they were well aware of him coming out of school and knew he was going to be a pro receiver. Very impressed with his quicks, his route running, his ability to get open.
13th pick in the third round. You're right.
Very, very good receiver and a guy who can burn you. Look,
he's got speed, man.
And they've often quoted the stat this week on all the national outlets. First receiver in NFL history to have at least 5 catches and a touchdown in each of his first 3 career games. Think about that. The league's 100 years old, John.
Well, touchdowns are tough.
I get it, but he's still done something that nobody has ever done. And how many receivers have played in this league in 100 years?
And what I liked about him, too, coming out, and it's true now seeing him in the NFL, Paul, he can do a lot of different things. I've seen him catch back shoulder. He's run deep posts and gone behind people. He runs slants. He gets inside. He's made contested catches. He's shown strong hands. He's shown a little bit of everything. So he's a good receiver. Paul Richardson is a veteran. He's been in the league a long time. He can do a little bit on the other side. And then you have Chris Thompson coming out of the backfield, who he'll use as a receiver. And Vernon Davis is now really their only tight end they'll play. How about this? Of their 181 offensive snaps this year, Paul, they've run 161 out of 11 personnel. So they are almost a completely 3 wide receiver, 1 running back team. Because of that Jordan Reed injury, they can't go 12 anymore. So Vernon Davis is pretty much their one tight end that they play.
You know what's funny about that? Adrian Peterson was so dominant with the Vikings coming out of a one-back set. And so many people said, well, you know, when he was set free and he was looking for a team to play for, oh, you know, he's going to have to go to a team that goes with the three wide receivers because he's a one-back offensive threat. He's not going to be able to work out of an I with a fullback or an H-back. He's got to be in the backfield by himself. That's what he does. Okay, so finally, he lands with the Redskins and has a good year last year. I think we would agree.
He's
a fine. Solid season.
Yeah, he was fine.
Not a superstar season anymore, but a solid season.
Yeah, I would say he's a below-average starter.
Okay, so in any event, certainly burned the Giants last year. Mm-hmm. If you remember, he put the nail in the coffin at MetLife Stadium with that big run when he was able to break free.
No, he can still run the football.
Okay, so anyway, what happens? Well, now the Redskins are having trouble blocking it because they've got 3/5 of their offensive line are subpar, and they're averaging less than 3 yards a carry on the ground. Peterson has less than 70 yards rushing through three games. And as a team, you know, I think, what's the longest run? 12 yards on the season? Oh, it's 11 yards by Thompson. Peterson himself only has a 10-yard run as his season long. So this team not only has committed to the pass, but it doesn't look like there's anything about their running game, John, that could even make you honest.
No, I think, right? I'm not going to say dare them to run it, but I think you have to almost dare them to run it at this point because they just don't want to do it and they haven't been effective at it. And generally speaking, Paul, they don't make big plays. You mentioned their runs. Let's see, where's their running plays here? Plays over 20 yards only have 9 all year. That's tied for 23rd in the league. They only have 2 runs of 10 yards or more, like you mentioned. Second fewest in the league. Completions over 20 yards, only 9, which is tied for 20th. This is an offense that, you know, Biskinum doesn't have a big arm. He's smart. He knows where to go with the ball. He doesn't have a big arm. They're not going to make these big plays down the field, have these chunk plays in the running game. They're going to very slowly and methodically move the ball. They have the second most 10-play drives in the NFL this year because of that reason.
So how many times do you think in Adrian Peterson's career he has heard opponents' experts talk about, well, we'd rather have them run it?
Yeah, not much. Not much.
I mean, it's a very strange piece of steak to chew on right now going up against this Redskins team.
Yeah, and then you look at the offensive line, and that's a little counterintuitive as well because you don't have Trent Williams who's holding out at left tackle. Ereck Flowers is your left guard. You know, when I watched him on tape, it was the right side of their offensive line that had the most problems.
Well, he hasn't exactly played great either.
No, more. Well, Flowers?
Yeah.
He's only allowed 5 hurries, not 1 sack, not 1 quarterback hit. He's been better than I thought. I watched every snap he took. He's better than I thought he was going to be.
You know what he doesn't do? He gets no push.
I'm talking about pass protection.
Oh, well, that's different.
Well, what was his big problem here?
Well, a lot.
Yeah, but pass protection is always more important, Paul. You know that.
Yeah, but for me,
killed him in protection, though.
It's important for an offensive line to, I like to say, own and dominate the line of scrimmage. You've got to win the trenches. Ereck Flowers right now with the Redskins, and this is probably all you can expect him to do because he has such a limited ceiling, is can you hold the line of scrimmage? And that's all he can do. He's not going to make anybody take a step back.
Before the season, if I would have told the Redskins, or you, if you were working for the Redskins,
right,
that through 3 games, Ereck Flowers would not have allowed a quarterback hit or a sack and only 5 hurries, you would have signed your name to that document so fast, I wouldn't even be able to stop you.
As badly as they needed offensive linemen, probably. But let's not forget, he did have that one stretch with the Giants like 3 years ago where he went 8 games without allowing a sack, which I thought was the best stretch of his entire career.
Anyway, the point I was making is that they've had issues on the right side of the line.
Yes.
Morgan Moses, who has actually been a pretty good player in years past.
He's been okay.
He's not playing well at all.
Not right now.
Not playing well at all.
No.
And him and Brandon Sheriff have had issues passing stunts off and things like that. Sheriff's been hurt this week. He hasn't practiced yet. I don't think we've gotten the Friday report yet. When we do, we'll give it to you. But that's been an issue, too, that he's not maybe healthy, and Chase Roullier has not practiced or starting center. He's had some issues this year in protection. So their offensive line, which has been pretty good in the past, Paul, has not been great, especially in their last game against the Bears on Monday night.
Well, consider this. okay? We always talk about the offensive line being the foundation, and certainly I'm the champion of offensive lines. You look at this division, okay? The Eagles' offensive line, still good, but maybe not quite as good as it was. The Cowboys' offensive line, still very good, but maybe not quite as good as it once was. The Redskins' offensive line, in my mind, has taken the biggest hit of any team in the division over the course of time, especially with the Trent Williams situation. There's no doubt. Tremendous hit to them. And the Giants' offensive line certainly has gotten better. So that's why going into the season, and I know it's just one position, John, but I was very headstrong in saying the Redskins are the number four team in this division. They're the last place team.
I thought so too coming into the year. I was with you on that.
And I'm not changing.
Couple tweets, and we'll do some bookkeeping here in relation to the tweets. From Dan Stevens, did the Giants sign any free agent running backs? Who will be in the backfield? Thanks. Well, late yesterday, they did elevate John Hilliman from the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be the third or fourth running back, depending on how you classify Elijah Penny, on the roster on Sunday. And Russell Shepard, who injured his foot last week, had to be put on injured reserve. So that might help solve the Giants' wide receiver issue when they bring Golden Tate off of suspension after this game.
Well, actually, you're right. There are four running backs, but Barkley will be inactive. So there'll be three active running backs, Penny, Gallman, and Hilliman. You said he's
depending on how you count Penny.
Oh, no, but even if you count Penny.
Gallman. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. That is only three. You're right, my fault.
Three are up.
You're 100% right.
Here's the thing. I just got done talking to Hillman, and I don't know how much he will play or how much he will get the ball.
By the way, is it Hillman or Hilliman?
Hillman.
It's Hillman. That's what I thought. Okay. That's what I thought.
And here's the thing about him. Had a nice camp. I think made it very close in terms of trying to take a spot from Perkins or Gallman.
Well, the mere fact he put himself in the conversation with those guys as an undrafted free agent
right.
is a credit to him.
No question.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks in a row during the preseason, he plowed in for a power touchdown near the goal line. So he showed that he can run with some strength and keep up with the folks in the NFL, and he's not afraid to stick his shoulder down there and grind it out. And he also showed that he's a very heady ball player. So I think the Giants were smart to keep him on the practice squad. I still think it's a shame they lost Paul Perkins, because I'd feel better about their situation if Paul Perkins were here because of what he had accomplished and being a veteran as he was. But I do think that Hillman is a competent backup. I don't know how much you rely on him in this game. He'll be active for sure. Coach Shermer always says to us, don't forget about Elijah Penny.
Oh,
he can
yeah.
run the ball.
He can.
How many times does he tell us that?
A billion?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
So I don't expect Gallman to get 25 carries and be a bell cow. I certainly think he'll be the leading ball carrier. He's going to be the starter back there. But it would not shock me if Elijah Penny wound up with 8 to 10 carries in this game. And I don't know that leaves any room for Hilliman. He may not even play. He may just be active and not play.
Right.
But I just caution you folks to think that, and I don't think any of you are, thinking that Gallman's just going to step into Barkley's shoes and then he's going to be the bell cow. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Penny's going to get his share.
I think Gallman will get between 15 and 20 touches.
I've been telling people I thought 16, 18, so we're pretty darn close.
Yeah, but how many touches has Barkley gotten the first few weeks?
Not nearly as many as most people would like.
No, but right in that range, right? So I think he's going to get almost identical to the workload that Barkley got.
I don't think he will be as involved in the passing game as Barkley was.
I agree with that, too.
And that will subtract from the touches from the position.
Okay, so with the Giants this week, if we didn't mention the actual guys that are out, it's Barkley, Tay Davis, and Ogletree. They will not play this week. Ogletree with the hamstring. Davis suffered the concussion last week. Barkley is the ankle. No one is doubtful. No one is questionable, which means Benny Fowler is good. Cody Latimer is good. So they'll be on the field, which is good news for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got Redskins injury report from Rhiannon Walker, who covers them for the Athletic DC. Out Jordan Reed, center Chase Roullier, which means their starting center this week will be Tony Bergstrom, who actually did start some games for them last year. So he's someone that has started some games. Questionable, Brandon Sheriff and Terry McLaurin, who was limited in practice yesterday with a hamstring injury.
Again,
I would expect both those guys to play.
I'm counting on both of them playing. This is an 0-3 team, divisional matchup. If those guys can walk, they're getting on the field. So, interesting, though.
McLaurin's a hamstring. What's Sheriff?
I think an ankle.
He's an ankle?
Let me see.
Yeah, you got it on the report from yesterday, right?
He is an ankle.
Ankle, thank you.
So, Hey, I'll tell you one thing. This Giants team is loose. We've been in that locker room all week, John. And, you know, I don't think they're overconfident. I don't think they're whistling past the graveyard thinking that they got a win in their pockets.
Oh, I don't think
and
so
everything's going to be great.
No,
I don't think so.
That doesn't mean they're going to win.
No. But I
right.
like the attitude and the approach. I'm not sensing any sense of cockiness from this team, understanding that they escaped with a win in Tampa Bay. They didn't exactly maul the Buccaneers.
201, no, they did not. 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by Coors Light. Enter to win the ultimate VIP game day experience, courtesy of Coors Light. Text VIP to 90464 for more details. Let's do your calls at 201-939-4513. Start with Don down in Texas. He'll lead us off. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, John. How you doing, P-Dot?
We're great.
Hey, P-Dot, if he doesn't want to talk with you about Slayton, I'll salivate over him with you, okay?
No. I will. No. Hold on. I'm happy to talk about Slayton. I'm not willing to start to talk to him like he's Sterling Shepard or Golden Tate. That's all I'm saying.
I'm still going to salivate over him.
That's
with
fine.
P-Dot, okay?
That's okay.
You know,
that's okay.
I'm going to give you one more piece of candy to salivate over with Slayton. He really seems to have a level head on his shoulders. And very much a football mature, if you will, because he understands some of the finer points of the game. We've seen that, and not only practice when we have had him on the field here, but also in speaking with him, you can tell that he has an appreciation for all the little things. And, of course, the block he made on the Evan Engram 75-yard catch and run was just a beautiful football play. Any wide receivers coach in this league would just love to show that film to his other receivers to say, look, you don't have to catch the ball to make a big play.
That's awesome, Pete. Good slice of humble pie on that young man. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really called about the linebackers, but let me get back to Slayton really quick, Pete. I agree with you. He is a vertical threat. Each of these receivers bring a different element to him. But Slayton's job is to go vertical, make the defense get back. There's two plays where you saw it. The one you just mentioned, P-Dot, where Engram does the crossing route. If you look at the start of that play, Slayton's running a fly pattern, bringing both of those safeties all the way back, bringing Engram to cross over. And ironically, who's the last receiver blocking at the end of that play? It's Slayton. That's the vertical threat that he brings. The other one was the deep post that he caught when Daniel Jones broke pocket. He beat a cover, too. That's the threat of Slayton. I like him a lot fitting in this offense. Also, want to touch base about the linebackers, guys. Talk me down a little bit. I was a little nervous about our linebackers without the injuries. Now with the injuries, I'm a little nervous. Who's backing up Stu Barr? I mean, this guy couldn't pull a flag in flag football in preseason. And I just had one question. Of what your experience with pass players who leave, does the team go the extra mile to kind of go at their weaknesses like a Landon Collins? And I'll take my answer off the air, guys.
Appreciate it. Paul, why don't you take that one?
Which one, the linebacker or the Landon
take
Collins
your pick.
One?
What do you want?
Well, if you want, I'll take the Landon Collins one if you like. Whoa, how about that?
We got a little dial tone there, McKenzie. Can we drop him off, please? Thank you.
There we go. Here's what you have to remember about players when they go to different teams. There's a book on every single player when he plays in an organization. So every Giant that leaves this locker room, he leaves behind a book, so to speak, a footprint. Not that he left it, but they have a book on every player. So they know every single one of his strengths and his weaknesses, and they keep track of that. And when they write up their scouting report off the film of what he is doing for the Redskins, they will also keep in mind and tell their offensive players, in case, you know, they weren't here, and a lot of them weren't, okay, this is what we know about the player. So it always becomes part of the preparation when you face someone who has played in your organization. That's not as isolated to Landon Collins.
Yeah, I haven't seen him on tape cover tight ends much down the field so far this year.
No, he's been playing much more up in the box.
Yeah, but even when you're
much
up in the
tighter box,
sometimes you have to play man-to-man on the end. But
he hasn't really done
that so
They're
far
using
this
him differently
year.
Than the Giants did.
Yeah, I mean, they are playing him a linebacker level, though.
A lot.
He's not
a
deep
lot.
Very often at all.
A
like,
lot.
Like, we did him for strategy this week, and I got to find Landon Collins plays. I found a bunch of tackles in the run game. I couldn't find hardly any coverage plays for him, good or bad, to be quite honest.
They have limited that responsibility a lot when you look at the clips. And I think maybe, quite frankly, John, maybe they looked at a lot of Landon Collins' tape last year with the Giants, and he did have some trouble in coverage.
Yeah, so it's going to be Connolly and Mayo, and then really, Stupar is your next guy. Would you be surprised if you saw some smaller nickel packages with Peppers as a quasi-linebacker?
You're reading my mind. You're reading my mind, John.
Or Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas. That's who I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Giants because of the fact that the Redskins have not shown much in the run game. If I'm defensive coordinator James Betcher, I am not afraid to go big nickel, as they like to call it.
Well, that would be a small nickel, though.
Well, because the Giants don't have the type of safeties that would qualify as big nickel players.
Right, yeah, but they don't have a safety that can cover in the slot.
Right.
Correct.
Right. I mean, Michael Thomas has done some of that, but not against the shifty slot guys, more so against the bigger slot guys or the tight end slot guys.
It would actually be a big dime.
In effect.
Because you would play six defensive backs, but one of them will be playing as a linebacker.
Yes, in effect. And I firmly believe, see, I wasn't going to say this because I didn't want that strategy to get out there, but I'm with you, John. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
It's not James Betcher's strategy. It's what we're talking about. What's the difference?
Yeah,
we could be totally wrong.
That is true. We could be. But if it were me, I would absolutely, positively go with the extra safety package. And this way, again, no disrespect to the linebackers the Giants have. Conley's going to be on the field all three downs. Okay, we know that.
He'll have the communicator in his helmet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes perfect sense. But to me, the other backer you're going to see, you'll see Lorenzo Carter out there, okay, and you'll see O'Shane Zimenez out there, and you'll see Golden out there. But what we know is Golden's a pass rusher.
All three of those guys are pass rushers.
Carter will play some of everything.
Yeah, but he's in sub-packages. He has his hand in the dirt. He's
a
pass
rusher.
Yeah,
but I think what will happen is the Giants will play sub-packages earlier in the downs, but Carter will be on the field, and he will not be rushing.
So you think he's going to play an inside linebacker spot?
I think if you have Connolly and Carter on the field together.
Okay.
Think about this.
Maybe.
Think about this. If you go with two backers.
So you would put Zimenez and Golden on the two edges, and then you would have Carter as like a in base as a linebacker?
As kind of a monster.
Okay. You could do that.
It's a thought.
Yeah.
And can I throw one more wrinkle in there for you? I wouldn't be shocked to see Skipper get some reps in there. Not as a backer, as a stand-up, but on the line.
Yeah, he would have to be an edge rusher in that situation.
I could see that happening.
And look, Carter has the cover skills and space skills to play as a non-pass rushing linebacker.
So. I think that's what I would do with him this week.
201-939-4513. Rich is down in Tampa. He's up next. Hey, Rich.
Hey, the A team on today. Nice to talk to you guys.
What's up, Rich?
Hi.
Hey, all right, two things. One, and you kind of were talking a little bit about the running back situation because I think you know, down here in Tampa, you know, the Giants didn't win that game, according to Tampa. You know, Tampa lost that game. So our defense still let us down in the final
drive. Missed a 34-yarder.
For 3 years. But the thing is, running back, we don't have Barkley. And we didn't pick up anybody this week, so we're going with who we have, Goleman and the other guy, Hillman. What do you think they could do in the running game that could somehow keep Washington honest because I on their defense because I don't think that going in their game plan will be to even be concerned about the running attack. So first, that's my first question regarding that.
Well, Rich, real quick, real easy, Rich, just stay committed to it and run it well. I mean, there isn't any fancy scheme or play call or anything like that. You just have to make them respect it by running the ball while we're in the game. It's really that simple.
Okay, so
here's what I think will happen.
Run the ball and be successful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't know if I'm confident they could do that, but we'll see. So that's thank you for that question. Now, part two is the defense. And, yes, the linebacker situation. I love Connolly, and I think that he's such a smart guy. And I think that he could hopefully make some good decisions for the team. But we need the defense to not be a sieve in the first half again. And they're doing that all for the last three games. They made somewhat of adjustments perhaps in the second half last week. But we need them to be decent at least in the beginning. Because nothing's going to give Washington. The line was three and a half. It's 2.5 now. I mean, nothing will be more confident building for Washington to come out and just be able to go right down the field on us. And I really don't have confidence in our defense, but I'm hoping and we need them to make plays in the beginning of the game, not just after the first half or possibly on the end of the game. We need it in the beginning for a change. you think, is that too much to ask?
I hope not. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate the call. I hope not.
Yeah. Defensive player and coordinator James Betcher have talked all week about having a better start than they've had in the first three games of the season. So clearly, you're not exactly exposing a secret. But here's the one thing that I want to say also, John. I also believe that if the Giants are going to build anything off of what happened last week, not only did the defense do better in the second half, but let's not forget, the offense, and the passing offense in particular of Daniel Jones, was really clicking. And he's a young quarterback who's making his first home professional start. I would say to you, for his sake, for his confidence sake, and for the Giants' overall sake, that the Giants' offense actually gets off to a good start. Because if he struggles in the first quarter, if he struggles in the first half, and then suddenly has to play from behind a second week in a row, he may not get the same results he got in Tampa.
Yeah, and the one thing he did really well in Tampa, Paul, is play well under pressure in terms of when he was facing pressure.
He did very well.
Yes, and that is something that can change. It can be very volatile from week to week and season
Correct.
To season. So can that continue? We'll see. I don't know the answer to that, but you're right, and I think a lot of that's going to come down to protection, because I think if Jones has time in this game, he's going to figure out ways to pick apart that Redskins secondary and linebacker core. He'll be able to do it. I have a lot of confidence in that. The question is, can they keep that Redskin defense line off of him long enough? And remember, he will hold the ball now a little bit. That was one mm-hmm. thing he did last week. He held the ball a little
he
bit too long.
He admits to that, too.
Oh, yeah, sure he did. And that goes back to, you know, some of the pocket presence stuff. Some plays he had phenomenal pocket presence. Read the rush, stepped up, got out of the way. Other plays, it's like he had no idea the rush was coming.
He has to grow into this.
Right. Guys,
no
he's
question.
A rookie. He has to get better at these
People
things.
People are forgetting.
Correct.
He's
it's his first ever
years
game.
Old.
So, but my point, though, is that given the strength of the Redskins' defensive line in front, that's going to be a key to getting him going this week, is getting in the protection needs up front. If he gets that, I think he's going to have a lot of success.
Yeah, I truly believe that the smoother the offense is early in the game, the better off it's going to be for him, because there will be less chances for the Redskins to try to shake him up with their potential pass rush.
And Paul, how about the luxury of playing with a lead for once?
Oh, really?
Where
who
team,
does that?
Where a team doesn't think you have to pass it all
who
the time.
Who does that?
And you actually can, you know, be up seven and run play action on first down, and then people are actually fooled by it because they're not worried about you running it down 14 in the third quarter.
Look, here's the bottom line. It's going to happen at some point in time. You would hope it doesn't happen this week at home against the Redskins because they are a team that's struggling right now. But it could come against Minnesota next week. I don't want to get too far ahead, John.
Let's but not, please.
It could also come in Foxborough in 2 weeks.
Yeah, by the way, the Giants' history against the Vikings' defense, no matter where they
is not
play,
good.
Is not good.
No matter who the quarterback is, other than Kerry Collins.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Especially in playoff games.
Yes.
Yes.
So my point to you is, at some point in the next several weeks, Daniel Jones is going to have a very difficult game.
Gonna happen.
It will. It's inevitable.
And by the way, it's gonna happen next year too. Everyone thought Baker Mayfield was all set heading into this year, huh? How's he looked the first 3 weeks?
You know, Bill Parcells
it
always
happens.
Told us
with young quarterbacks, it's volatile.
You don't know anything about the young quarterback until he has that first 3-game losing streak, or until he has that first 3 or 4 interception game, because they're inevitable. They are going to happen. And that's
Bingo.
Why Parcells loved Troy Aikman mm-hmm. when he came out of UCLA and Dallas drafted him. I'll never forget. Bill was sitting at the back of the table down in the old Giants Stadium press room, and he goes, fellas,
he was mad,
puffing on his cigar, puffing on his little cigarette. Fellas, this Troy Aikman guy, let me tell you something. He's going to be the next one. He knew. Parcells knew. And that first year, when Aikman was just getting beaten to just ribbons.
Oh, yeah, 89. They were 1-15.
They were dreadful. And he was having a tough time. But Bill saw stuff in him through the adversity, through the misery, that he was sure that the way he was getting through the swamp, that he was going to come out of it okay. Because that's how you find out about the best players, specifically the best quarterbacks, how they deal with the worst moments that they're going to have to face. And Daniel Jones is going to face some tough times at some point.
Did you see the Troy Aikman tweet from last week?
Yes, I did. I didn't see it. I heard about it.
for the folks that didn't see it, very innocently, he wasn't trying to call
no,
Aikman
not
out.
At all.
And by the way, Aikman wasn't trying to call the player out either, but a reporter that covers for The Athletic, that covers the Chiefs, just sent out a pretty innocent tweet that through his first season or 19 games, however games Mahomes has played so far.
On pace four.
He already has a third of the touchdowns that Troy Aikman had in his career. And that's it. He wasn't taking a shot at Aikman. He wasn't doing any of that.
A statistical comment.
Correct. And then Aikman wasn't even like attached on the tweet, but I guess it was brought to his attention. So he retweets it and goes, come back to me when he has a third of my Super Bowl titles. And again, I don't think Troy was taking a shot at that either.
It's a good comeback, though.
But I think it's just a commentary on how a lot of the older quarterback statistics, it's hard to put them into context because the game was played so much differently. Like, if you put Troy Aikman in a time machine and you put him in the offenses today with all the time they're throwing the ball and all the rules with what you can do to wide receivers and what you can, Aikman would be one of the top quarterbacks in the league and throwing for a bajillion yards and chucking the ball all over the yard.
And by the way, Mahomes really hasn't had one of those face the music kind of games. He really, for the most part,
I don't think he has.
For the most part, even his down games have been good. And so he hasn't had a face the music type of game or streak.
And you know what? He might not.
And, well, and maybe he won't. And so, you know, we won't have to find out how he deals with those things and how you can grow and mature from those things. But he also had the benefit of sitting for a year.
Correct. That's also true.
Mm-hmm. Which again, is always a benefit for a rookie quarterback.
Len in Columbia, Maryland is up next. Hey, Len.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Len?
You coming up?
Hey, Paul, a real quick one. You were talking about LT last week and one of the games. You were referring to the New Orleans game, Thanksgiving weekend, 1988. I was in the Superdome.
You went to the game?
You are absolutely right. No words can describe LT's performance that night.
No. That's true inspiration.
Just shake your head.
I'm glad you're backing that up, Len. Thank you.
Jeff Rutledge to Stephen Baker for the win.
Yes.
This is a big game. I think you guys are kind of underplaying this. By the way, thanks for the thorough analysis of the Redskins. I appreciate that.
Well, you're down there. Haven't you seen them?
I'm going to simplify it for you guys.
You're not listening.
Get the nose tackle blocked on offense. Don't let Davis get too many yards after the catch. He's going to get his catches. Tackle him. Block the nose tackle on offense. We're going to be okay. I hope so, because this is a big one. I think you guys are underplaying this.
Well, you know what, Len, I will say this real quick. Before the year, and I guess I maybe should have opened with this, and I didn't. Before the year, I thought it was essential for the Giants to have a competitive season through the final months of the year to start the year at worst 2-2. So
in
that way,
in fact, I was going to bring it up.
This
John,
is a very important game.
Said.
No, Len, 100% true.
I put that in Skywriter. I mean, absolutely. We were in total agreement on that. 3-1 was the request. 2-2 was the minimum.
Correct.
Yeah. And they may get the 2-2 this Sunday. And by the way,
We got to get it. I hate to do this, but if you just think about the loss, 1-3, last place in the NFC East, 0-2 in the division, 0-2 at home.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad things about this if they lose.
You can run through the stats and you just think about the importance of this ball game.
2-2 tied for second.
It really is. I mean, 1-3 the first quarter of the season, and you know you extrapolate from that, then you're 4-12 and drafting fourth. I mean, you know, it's time to win. And when was the last time we won 2 in a row?
We're with you, Len. I'm with you.
Len, let me put it to you this way.
This game. It's a big game. Big game. The crowd's going to be electric. It's just perfect. God bless Daniel. Hey, wouldn't it be great? You know, just thinking about the future. If this is the guy, just imagine a 10 to 12 year career from Daniel. We'd have had two quarterbacks in 25 to 27 years. I mean, now you're talking young and Montana. Yeah. I mean, you're getting up there. That would be unbelievable. all the best to Daniel. I hope it works out for him. Listen, I want to go on record. I didn't do it. Haven't called for a couple of weeks, but I want to go on record. And I don't want to talk about it, and you guys don't want to talk about it either. But I was not pleased by the way that the thing played out with Eli. I thought it was too quick. But listen.
No, that's fair. I get it.
We're past it. We're on the way. And, you know, I hope the guy stays healthy and, you know, does well. And, man, let's win this game on Sunday. Come on. It's time to, you know, guys, when you evaluate, you got to evaluate on wins. Mr. Mara said it before the season starts. This team's got to win games. Come on, guys. Let's go, Giants. Let's win a ball game, particularly at home.
Thank you, Len.
One of those home crowds. I want to be happy going down the escalator, John.
All right, Len.
Thank you, Len.
All right.
Enjoy
the call, buddy.
John, I was just going to speak to the mathematics of the situation. If you discount the first-place teams in every division, there is only one wild-card team at the moment that is still undefeated. That would be the 49ers.
They're 3-0, huh? Okay, and they have a bye this week, too, by the way.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. So
The Vikings are 2-1, right?
Well, yeah, that's my point. That's my point. Your Rams are the first-place team in the West.
Mm-hmm.
3-0, tied with the 49ers. And then in the South, you don't have any undefeated teams. You have the Lions, the only undefeated team in the North. And you have Dallas, the only undefeated team in the East.
And they're undefeated, but they have a tie, the Lions.
Correct.
And the Packers are in second place at 3-1. So
yes.
There's only two non-division winners that only have one loss.
Well, and that's why, the Vikings and Bears are also 2-1 with the Pack.
Oh, good call. 3-1, I'm sorry. My bad.
My point is there's only one non-division leader that is undefeated so far.
Yeah.
So it's not like out of the gate there's a quick separation, you know, in terms of if you want to stay in the wild card hunt, okay? I'm going big picture here, Len, just for you because I really don't want to talk about this very much, but you addressed our earlier point that we made months ago that you want to get 2-2 through the first four and then play through a 12-game schedule and see where it lands. Well, you know what? At the moment, there are not a bunch of teams in the, quote, wild card race that are running out ahead of the pack.
Right.
It's still kind of tight. So if you can come out of this game against the Redskins with still only two losses, you're still right in that pack as you're you know, getting to that first turn on the thoroughbred racetrack.
Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by Coors Light. Enter to win the ultimate VIP game day experience courtesy of Coors Light. Text VIP to 90464 for more details. We'll take three more calls before we say goodbye today. Let's say what's up to Eddie down in California. Eddie, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Ed?
Hey, so Saquon's injury is going to be for a couple of weeks, and this is a two-part question.
Sure, probably more than a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Injury. Like, what's the best way to heal that type of injury? And my second part of the question.
Ice and rest.
Are the Giants allowed to use CBD creams for his injury? I know marijuana is illegal, but the CBD part doesn't get you high. And it seems to stimulate to help bones heal quicker and stronger after a mild fracture.
Well, Eddie, luckily, Paul Dottino has gotten his medical degree in the past week. He's an expert on all the rules in terms of... He actually has every illegal substance memorized from the NFL's prohibited list. In all seriousness, I don't know the answer to that. My guess is that if it has that in it, it's probably not legal, but I don't know the answer to that. I'm simply wagering a guess. I mean, look, for a high ankle sprain, you're looking at rest, first of all. You're looking at ice to keep the swelling down.
Mm-hmm.
And until he can see, he's still in I haven't seen him today, but he's been in a boot since the injury. He was on crutches right after the injury. That's something that doesn't heal naturally. You know, it's not like a muscle where you can, massage the muscle and heat it and do electrical stimulation on it. It's just a sprained ankle. It kind of just has to heal on its own.
And in regards to your question specifically, there are players with multi-million dollar contracts at stake who don't understand and don't know all the rules regarding what they can and cannot take. So far be it from me, just a reporter sitting in this room that's even going to take a flyer of a guess about what is illegal or legal to take when it comes to medical improvements and medical medicines. I'm not touching that stuff.
No, I have no idea. Chris in New Jersey, he's up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I called the other day, and I just wanted to give some props to a maligned player that got a lot of heat on him in that first game. I'm not saying he's the next Renee Thompson, but Antonio Hamilton, really fantastic job on the punt coverage along with Cody Core.
How about the fact that the Giants have only given up about 2 yards per punt return this year? How about that?
That's
Hamilton, that's Core, that's Michael Thomas. These guys are really, really good in punt coverage. And can I not leave out Zach Diassi as well?
Yeah, absolutely. He's always the first one down there. And I know you got a couple calls. Just a quick question. Ironically, that first game, you know, you got to think the Bucs were going in there to say, hey, listen, you know, Daniel Jones, come and beat us. We're going to stop Barkley, which they did. And obviously we know what Jones did. In this game, do you guys both feel it's kind of a flip of the script where now they're saying, you know what, let's not let Jones beat us. Let's keep our eye, let's keep our focus on him with the game plan, and now let's let Gallman beat us. What's your feeling on that?
I think it's different. I don't think there's any doubt about it, Chris. I think that's a good point. Look, are teams going to be as worried about Wayne Gallman as they are about Saquon Barkley? No, they're not. So that is another wrinkle for Daniel Jones this week. Not only not having Saquon as a potential weapon out of the backfield to do stuff with the ball, throw it to, just it will change how I think a defense approaches the game. I think it absolutely will.
I mean, you know, Wayne Gallman can run between the tackles, and I think that's an important part here because the Skins' rush defense is very weak. At least that's what they've shown on tape. So, you know, if you are the Redskins and you decide that you're just going to try to load up and do everything you can to Daniel Jones, well, you're giving up 142 yards a game on the ground. Wayne Gallman is an NFL back, okay? He's not Saquon Barkley, but he's an NFL back. Wayne Gallman could hurt them very dearly in the first half of this game if they fall asleep on him. So I'll be honest. Look, you can't treat him like Barkley, but I don't think you just worry about Jones and say, you know what, we don't think the Giants are going to run the ball at all.
And quite
that
frankly,
would be crazy.
That's not in the Redskins' scheme. They want to play Landon Collins close to the line of scrimmage.
Right.
They want to play one safety high. So I think just the nature of their scheme, Chris, will keep that seventh or eighth man in the box depending on if they're in sub-package or base or whatever.
Yeah, agree with you guys 100%. Thanks again, guys, and catch you Sunday.
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
By the way, those calls are very quick, so if you guys want to squeeze in one or two, you can give us a call at 201-939-4513.
Any tweets, John? No?
Why don't you go through them right now? Let's go to Scott in New Mexico in the meantime. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Question for you. Jay Gruden's under a lot of heat in Washington. There's a good possibility he may not even finish out the season if things continue as they are. So I'm wondering, are the Giants prepared if they do make a quarterback switch? And there's been a lot of talk about doing that. Do you think it'll be Colt McCoy, or do you think they'll throw all cards in and Dwayne Haskins will have his first start? And more importantly, is Betcher and the Giant defense preparing, because each quarterback obviously brings something different to the table. So I was wondering if that gives them enough time to prepare no matter who the quarterback is. I was just curious what you thought.
Haskins is the number three. They've already made it clear down there in Washington. Gruden has said that Colt McCoy is his number two quarterback this Sunday. So if by some stretch of the imagination Keenum can't go, I mean, he's practiced yesterday. I know he had the boot earlier in the week. But he's expected to be the starter. If he does get knocked out, Gruden's already said that Colt McCoy's next up because he's got a firmer grasp of the offense. So I'll be honest, I don't even know if Haskins will be active. He might be the, quote, third quarterback, which means he's not allowed to come in unless the other two guys get hurt.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I was just wondering because obviously Pat Shurmur is very familiar with Case Keenum.
Sure he is.
Days in Minnesota.
Sure.
So he'll know his tendencies and so forth. And with Jay Gruden having all this pressure on him, a sort of similar situation to what the Giants had, everyone's clamoring for somebody else to play quarterback. So
to your other question, though, about in terms of the scheme and what they run, the Redskins are pretty solid in what they're doing. I mean, I don't see them varying a whole lot.
You mean offensively or defensively?
Offensively.
No. They do what they do, and frankly, they have a nicely schemed little offense. I mean, they get guys open.
You know, they're gonna try to just pass it.
Play action. They run play action.
That's it. And they know they're not a good running team. They understand that, so that's why they're gonna go three wides no matter who's quarterbacking, and they're not gonna run a ton of read option because that's not what they do. And they're not going to run their quarterback out of design runs. Mm-hmm. They're going to drop back, and they're going to try to beat you through the air.
Okay. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having a nice weekend.
You too. All right, let's go to Andre in Rochester. He'll be our last call, and then we'll hit up some tweets. Andre, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
What's up?
I'll make this quick. Being that the Landry Collins will be playing near the box, do you think they'll be doubling Evan Engram with a corner? And I'll take your answer off air. Thanks, guys.
You know, it's a good question. They haven't really been torched by tight ends from what I could tell so far this year, Paul, the Redskins. Their other safety, Nicholson, he'll play a little bit on tight ends. But I think when they go man, that's going to be a matchup I think the Giants should cover. I don't think the Redskins have a player in the secondary that can necessarily match up with him one-on-one.
I think Evan Engram's going to have a very big game.
I think so, too.
And, again, I'm going to bring up Darius Slayton. I'm sorry. I know you want to hold me back.
No, you could say he's going to have an okay game.
I'm going to bring up Darius Slayton, who I think, because of the single one-on-one matchups that he's likely to face, because I think they're going to have to try to double Shepard some, or at least bracket him. I could see them trying to do
that. They haven't done that all the first 3 weeks against some good wide receivers.
I know. But I think that they don't probably carry the same respect for Slayton as people in this building have for Slayton.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. I mean, he's a rookie.
So I'm going to think they're going to figure, okay, you know what? We could probably man him. And I think that because of their single high safety concept, I don't think you're going to see a lot of doubles on Engram. And I think he will do well. I think they may zone him, but I think he'll do well because he can run through zones. And I think that Slayton is going to make some big plays in the game.
All right, we got some tweets here, Paul. We have at Hicks021. We kind of touched on this earlier, but we can go into it in a little bit more detail here if you like. Any chance we see Lorenzo Carter at inside linebacker at all, played multiple positions at Georgia, would not be out of his skill range. X-Man and Golden would be the primary edge rushers. Look, he's shown the ability to cover and do things in space. He was a 4-3 off-ball linebacker in college, so he can do that sort of stuff. He's not generally the size and the build you're looking for out of an inside linebacker, but in passing situations, I don't know if I want him, you know, taking on guards, pulling into holes necessarily as an inside linebacker, but as a cover guy, could you stand them up a little bit? If you're running nickel, you have four down linemen, you have two standing up linebackers, he's one of those two guys. Like you said earlier, I don't think that's out of the question.
No, and quite honestly, if the Redskins get behind, you'll see a ton of Chris Thompson instead of AP.
Right.
Okay, Peterson's going to be on the bench. Thompson's going to come in, and they're going to want to get him the ball in the flat a lot, and they're going to want to isolate him against the linebacker if they can on a short dump-off. Well, I think that's where Lorenzo Carter can come in. I'll be honest with you. I respect Chris Thompson. But I also have a great deal of regard for Lorenzo Carter and his length and his ability to cover certainly within the short range. So I could see him doing that.
Drew in North Carolina, has Tuzar Skipper seen any action yet, practice or otherwise? Well, he's been practicing, obviously. He was a late ad last week, so he wasn't ready to go. But if you do see him, as you mentioned before, Paul, he's going to be the guy you're going to put on a straight line to the ball. It's not a straight line, but, you know, go get the quarterback. We're not going to ask you to do a whole lot more at this point.
Totally agree. And I would actually try to get him some more rotational snaps as an edge rusher in the sub-package. I see no reason why they should not start working him in. His preseason tape, you know, with the Steelers was really good.
Clayton Harding, psyched to see our D-line go against their depleted ranks. Roulier, rookie Wes Martin and Flowers, as their inside offensive line seems really vulnerable. They already barely run. Can we load up against the pass and take advantage of it? And I'll throw one more tweet on top of that from Just a Giants Fan podcast. If Roulier is out, I fully expect Lawrence, Hill, and Tomlinson to take Bergstrom's lunch money and make his children want to say they're adopted. That's a little strong, but
a little. Oh, man.
But I do think that could open up some windows for the Giants' interior offensive line to do some damage. B.J. Hill's made some plays in the run game as a pass rusher. He's been pretty quiet through the first three games. Dexter Lawrence, to me, the last 2 weeks has come on and shown some nice ability to, you know, decrease the depth of that pocket and push back the interior offensive lineman. So, yeah, I think that could be an opportunity for this group to kind of get going this week, even if it's not coming off the edge.
One of the callers, I think, mentioned this before, John, and I'm just going to throw this out there, and I'm not telling you something that I know. It's simply just a gut feel. We know that Pat Shurmur knows Case Keenum real well because he helped him to his best season with the Vikes, okay? I'm sure not only does he know him well, he knows the favorite routes he wants to throw. He knows what his tendencies are when he gets rushed and when he gets into a tight spot. He knows what his safety valves are going to be. If he hasn't given that to the Giants defense and their staff and their players, I'd be more than shocked. He obviously owes it to give it to them. So I would say this. How about putting down Case Keenum for at least two picks, maybe even three in the game?
Well, he already has three this season. So that puts him on pace already for more than 15.
I think they're going to get at least two this week.
And look, and he'll put the ball into some danger. He doesn't have a big arm. We've seen over the course of the first three weeks, some guys jump some slant routes on him. He forced it into the seam last week against the Bears, which turned into an interception, especially if you get that early lead I'm talked about. If he feels the pressure to try to make some plays down the field, he's going to be in his comfort zone. If the Redskins have the lead, they can run it a little bit more. He doesn't feel like he has to go down there and score a million points. That's when Case Keenum's going to play his best football. But if you put some pressure on him and put him down a score or two, and it's second half, and he's like, oh, boy, I really got to push this down the field a little bit, that's when he might run into some mistakes.
Well, especially since he does not have a very strong arm. He's regarded as a below-average arm when you're trying to throw the deep ball. And what happens when a guy with a less-than-powerful arm tries to unload it 50 yards downfield? The ball hangs, and it gets picked off.
At Jerry Petraglia, listening to you and Paul, he's concerned about Antoine Bethea. No interception since 2017. Looks like, in Jerry's perspective, that he's lost a step. Sees him more as a rotational defender, not a guy playing nearly every snap. What are your thoughts on his opinion?
You know, I'll be honest with you. It's very hard for me to truly grade the secondary through the first 3 weeks of the season. We had a question on the Giants.com earlier in the offseason about what's the most difficult part of the Giants' schedule. And I answered it differently than Lance and John did. They were looking at the opponents. I came right out and said the first 3 weeks will be the most difficult, the most challenging, because the Giants' defense is going to need time to gel. They're not going to know each other. They're not going to be familiar with what Betcher wants to do because there have been so many changes. There'll be so many inexperienced players. And I put it right in print. I said that the Dallas game, the Bills game, and the Buccaneers game will be the toughest three games this team will play, most challenging, because the defense is going to have trouble finding its sea legs. I'm holding to that. And for that reason, I can't really grade any of these defensive players right now.
I will say this. I was one or two plays. I know there was at least one play where Bethea took a bad angle on a player that ran a slant. I think it was in the Cowboy game on a Michael Gallup slant maybe, where he took a bad angle and Gallup turned like a 15-yard slant into a big run. I don't know if there were any others besides that. But yeah, look, everyone in the secondary has to play better, guys. Pepper has to play better. Bethea has to play better.
The whole defense
Jenkins
does.
Has to, yeah, they all do. 100% right. And by the way, can I throw something else out there here? Because we're out of tweets, and we have about a minute to go before we got to say goodbye. There are people out there, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it, and there's a lot of them that are like, not only should Janoris Jenkins be benched, he should be cut. Folks, let me explain something to
you. Really?
Okay? You can't list... You probably don't need more than two hands, maybe one, to list the number of cornerbacks in this league that can cover Mike Evans with no safety help at all and expect him to succeed. He was put on an island with Mike Evans last week on far too many plays. Now, he'll tell you it's his job to cover him and he has to do it. And yeah, that's true. That's fine. I don't disagree with that either. However, if you put Corey Ballantyne in that situation, or DeAndre Baker in that situation, or Greg Helly in that situation, or any other cornerback you want to name on this roster in
short
that situation.
Short of Deion Sanders.
Guess what? Same things happen. It might even be worse. So just keep in mind, I know a lot of people think, well, you know, the corner covers the receiver. What do you mean, John? I don't have help on every play. Guys, in nearly every single defense, unless you're running a cover zero, which is something you rarely run, it is an extremely risky defense to run, there's almost always at least a safety over the top, even just in the middle of the field, if not on your side of the field. So he was put in a very difficult situation last week. He did his best, and he didn't make as many plays as I'm sure he would have liked.
Did you catch Jack Rabbit in the locker room today?
I caught some of it, yes.
Okay. I thought he did give a very interesting answer at the end of his media briefing when somebody asked him about, you know, how you respond to a rough game and a rough stretch. And he's been in a slump. And asked him not only how do you respond, but how important is it to show the young guys in your secondary how you respond? And he came right back and said, absolutely, that's important. I got to show them that I can come back and ball out this week. I got to show them that I can get back on the horse and play the kind of football that I'm supposed to play, because I got to set an example for these guys, the Bakers, the Ballantynes, the Loves. They got to see it from the guy who has been their big brother in the locker room ever since they came here in the draft.
Paul, good stuff.
Good to see you, John.
For coverage this weekend, folks, you can find the game on a bunch of different platforms. We're on Sports Radio 66 WFAN starting at 11:30 with pregame. Myself, Paul, Lance, and Feegs will be with you. That's on AM and FM. Then we go to AM only when Yankees coverage starts. I believe at 2:35, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Yankees start at 3. I believe that's true.
Let me see if I can find it.
Way through the game, we'll switch to AM only, but we will start on both frequencies. And of course, when we do make that switch, we'll announce it on the radio. You can, of course, check Paul out on the post-game show on television on MSG. Mercedes-Benz sponsors that. I'll be on the post-game radio for all the reaction to the game against the Redskins. And of course, tune to MSG Networks as well tonight and throughout the weekend for a new episode of Giants Chronicles. Giants first and 10 debuts tonight. Pat Shermer actually hits the video board and breaks down a couple of plays from last week's game. That was a lot of fun. Sterling Shepard's two-point conversion, Ryan Connolly's interception. So make sure you check that out too. Did I have everything for you, Paul?
I think you did.
Excellent. So enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. Giants and Redskins kick off at 1. Adios.